Come and read our next reading, which is actually two readings.
Three?
Well, no, it's two, because one is the same, and then there's another one in the middle. So the beginning and the end are from John chapter 1, and then the middle is from Paul's letter to the Colossians.
All right. Fair, true.
Thank you, Christy.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Son of God, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. Everything has been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether on earth, things on earth, or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thank you, Christy. So this morning we're going to think about three aspects of the gift that God gave. Oh, no, we're still going. It's all right. We had the reading, so. Sorry, just if you're listening online, just having a small contretemps with the PA director. So, So three things about the gift that Jesus is. And the first thing is that Jesus is the gift that doesn't disappoint. Have you ever had a present that has disappointed? Let me tell you a story about a gift that disappointed. And some years ago, we gave my youngest daughter, who shall remain nameless, even though she is in the room, we gave her a gift that we thought she would love, because at the time she collected Barbie dolls, and I think by that time had about 90 Barbie dolls. Which had a lot of accessories. So there were a lot of shoes in the house, a lot of handbags. And so we thought, what better gift could we give her than some storage boxes to store all the accessories? So we bought these lovely storage boxes, and similar to these ones here. And we wrapped them up and we put them under the tree, and every other kids came down on Christmas morning. And my youngest daughter was cock-a-hoop, because hers was the biggest present under the tree. So she's looking at her older brother and sister, looking very smug, thinking, losers, I've got the biggest gift. The most money has been spent on me, because clearly I'm the favourite. And so anyway, time to unwrap the gifts. And she tore off the wrapping paper, and it was a beautiful gift box. And she's thinking, wow, this is so exciting. It's huge. This must be a very expensive present. So she took the lid off, full of excitement and anticipation. And inside, there was another box. So she's thinking, okay, well, we're obviously just building the excitement, because it's such a good gift. We've got to kind of build the excitement and not get to it straight away. It's a bit like pass the parcel without the passing. So she sort of paused for a moment and thought, all right, I'm going to take the lid. So then she took the took the lid off the next one, and there's another box. So she's like, well, it's still a reasonably sized box. There could still be something very exciting and very valuable inside it. Obviously, just building the anticipation and building the excitement. So then she took the lid off the last box and looked inside, and this is sort of dawning realization, where she suddenly realizes, there's nothing in the box, and actually the boxes are the gift. And you have never seen anybody more crestfallen in your life than she was in that moment, as she thought, that's my present. It's just It's just, and we were deflated because we thought, she'll be so excited. Well, we'll be so excited that she had somewhere to store all these blooming dolls and all her accessories. She was disappointed. But I sometimes think Christmas can be like that, because we have this sort of expectation that Christmas is going to be filled with perfection. We watch the adverts on TV and it's snowing and it's the perfect family gathered around the perfect Christmas meal where everything has been perfectly cooked and everyone's living in joyous harmony and it's all wonderful. And then we realise when we get to Christmas Day, it doesn't snow and the turkey's either overcooked or undercooked and everyone's squabbling and we kind of think, is that it? Is that it? Is that what all the hype is about? Is that it? And we can be very disappointed with our Christmas. But actually, Jesus is the gift that doesn't disappoint. In our Bible readings from Paul's letter to the Colossians, Paul wrote this: God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus. And that famous verse from John 1, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus is the gift who doesn't disappoint. And Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and life in all its fullness. Life in all its fullness. So if you want to be the best version of yourself that you can be, Jesus is the gift that you need to receive. If you want to be the best husband you could possibly be, the best wife you could possibly be, the best child you could possibly be, then you need Jesus, because Jesus says, I've come to bring life and life in all its fullness. When we receive him, we become the very best version of ourselves. Jesus is the gift that doesn't disappoint. Let's sing our next carol, and it is It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. If you're able to stand, please. Alan.
In the first reading, we read a little bit about he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And I thought, what does that mean? So I looked it up and it just means comfort. So it's a bit like a consolation goal if you're a Tottenham supporter. Oh, sorry, Peter, I forgot you were here. Right, the first reading, Luke chapter 2, 25 to 35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to him, what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and glory to the people of Israel. The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too. And then the second reading is from Matthew 10. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn man against his father, and daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves the father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it.
Thank you, Alan. So Jesus is the gift that doesn't disappoint. Jesus is also the gift that brings peace, but also brings conflict. Have you ever been had a gift that has caused conflict? I was trying to, I've just got a little gold chocolate coin here, and I imagine as I hold it up, some of you are thinking, I'd like that. and so I'm offering a gift that is going to start causing a bit of conflict, because I've only got the one, and we'll have to fight over it, because it's mine, and I'm not going to share it. So, but gifts, sometimes gifts do that. I remember when I was much younger, spending Christmas with my aunt and uncle, and I was sharing a room with my brother, and he was given an Airfix model of the Apollo 13 space rocket, which when he built it, stood about 18 inches off the ground, and he built this rocket while we were staying at my aunt and uncle's. And then I forget what we got into a fight over, but we got into a fight over something. And I don't know if it was about the rocket or something else, but we were having a fight on Christmas Day. And I pushed him, and he stumbled backwards, and he sat on the rocket, breaking it. And I'm not sure if the original Apollo 13 space rocket was designed to go through black holes, but his did, and it didn't come out well. It was smashed to pieces. And there was a lot of conflict. He was very angry. And I got into a lot of trouble, and he went and told our mum, and I got told off. And it was just, there was a lot of conflict, and it was a gift that should have brought harmony, and it didn't. And the reality is, we live in a world that is filled with all sorts of conflict. And at this time of year, we sing peace and goodwill towards all people, and then we sort of cynically think, well, that ain't happening, is it? Because I look around me, and sometimes I look in my own family, and I look at, well, there's not a lot of peace and goodwill. There's a distinct lack of that. Well, Jesus is the gift that brings the possibility of peace and goodwill. Because it's Jesus who allows us to reconcile with God the Father. And once we're reconciled to God the Father, once we're in relationship with him, then we can sort out all our other relationships. So Jesus is the gift that brings peace, but there's also a side to that, that once we start following Jesus, then there's a conflict as well in our reading. You didn't leave it behind, did you?
Thank you very much.
I think just get my script. In our reading, Mary is told, when Mary goes to the temple to present the baby Jesus, what is she told? She's told that this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, to be a sign that will be spoken against. A sword will pierce your own soul too. Mary is told right at the outset that her son will be rejected by the world. And the reality for us is, as we follow Jesus, we find this incredible peace that passes understanding, but also it leads us into conflict. I was just... I don't know if you've watched Planes, Trains and Automobiles. Do you like that term? Do you watch Planes, Trains and Automobiles? Brilliant film. You do need to watch the version that doesn't have the rude words in. Because when we first watched it, we watched the version without the words in. And then we saw the one that had the... And we thought, oh, that's a different... But anyway, there's a scene in the film where the key characters, played by John Candy and Steve Martin, are in a car... They have an accident, the car gets flipped around on the motorway at night, and they're travelling the wrong way down the motorway. But they don't realise they're travelling down the wrong way. And there's another car on the right side of the motorway, sort of pulls up alongside them, they're going about 70 miles an hour. And the people in the car call across, they say, "You're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way." And they're like, "Well, how do you know where we're going?" And then they realise that they're going the wrong way because there are two articulated lorries coming towards them. And it's just the narrowest of gaps to get between the two. And they have this realisation that actually they are going the wrong way and this might end badly. And it does end quite badly. But actually, when you start to follow Jesus, it's a bit like that living in the world. Jesus was going the wrong way and he ended up on a cross because the world didn't like it. And when we follow Jesus, that's the reality too, that we're going the wrong way. But it's the path of peace, and it's the path to fullness of life. And Jesus is the only name under heaven by which we may be saved. Jesus says, I've come that you may have life, and life in all its fullness, and no one comes to the Father except by me. So Jesus is the gift that brings peace, but when we follow him, we will end up in conflict as well. Mary was told that right at the outset, and so are we. Let's sing our next carol, which is In the Bleak Midwinter, if you're able to.
Acts 2:29-39. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a stool, footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brother, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And John 1:10-13. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God.
Yes, please. Thank you. So the third, thinking about Jesus, the third gift that he is, have you ever received a gift that you didn't want? That someone gave to you because they thought you needed it, but you didn't want it, and you wanted to return it. And sometimes you get given a gift with a receipt, and you're more grateful for the receipt than you are for the gift. So I was given a gift by my, I forget which one of my children, I was given a gift some years ago. And when I received it, I thought, why do I need that? I can see no use for it. And I have to say, I've never used it. In all the years, I forget how many years, it sat in a drawer. And I found it to show you this morning. And I'll show you what gift it is that they bought me. And you will, as I showed you, you'll realise why I hid it in a drawer and found no use for it. Because it says, fines for being a grumpy old man. General complaining, 20p. Having a moan, 50p. Having a full-scale rant, £1. Now, as you can see, it's empty. Because this was a gift that I did not want and did not need. It says, pay up instant fines for being a grumpy old man. I have lost the key, so even if I did put money in, I couldn't get in it anyway. Not that it's a particularly powerful padlock. But I thought, what do I want with that? And I thought, I don't want anything with that. Someone's trying to be funny. So as I say, it's been in my bottom drawer of my filing cabinet for about 6 years. And it's in pristine condition. So if anyone... I'm happy to re-gift to the highest bidder. Which may result in more conflict being caused at Christmas, but there we go. So there we are. But I think sometimes Christmas is a bit like that, isn't it? At Christmas time, we're reminded of this gift that God has given to us. And we think, well, I don't need that. I don't need Jesus. I'm happy to tell the story and to remind myself of the story. But I can't see any need. I can't see any need for Jesus. How could I use Jesus in my life? I remember some years ago when my youngest sister-in-law was married. She was married on the 28th of December, just 3 days after Christmas, because she's a musician, and that was about the only time that her musician friends weren't playing and were available. My father-in-law was a vicar, and it did nearly kill him, because he had about 20 carol services, and then Christmas, and then his youngest daughter's wedding, which was the reason they... and they had it in the church, which was a converted pig barn, which doesn't sound very salubrious, but it was. It was this beautiful oak barn. So they had the wedding in there, the reception in there. And on the day, one of her friends, musician friend, was going to fly down from Edinburgh to play his violin during the signing of the registers. He was a first-class musician. He'd written this piece of music, absolutely beautiful. He was going to fly down on the day. And then not long before the wedding started, there was a phone call to say, I'm at Edinburgh. There is a problem with the plane. I've been delayed. I'm not going to make it. So there's a problem. What are they going to do during the signing of the registers? But because there were loads of musicians at the wedding, another of the guests was a professional violinist. So we had the music. We had a professional violinist. No violin. That was solved because another of her friends was engaged to an antique dealer who just happened to have an antique violin in the boot of his car. So we had the music, we had the violinist, we had the violin. The one thing that they didn't have, because nobody was expecting, was a chin rest. There was no chin rest. What was the violinist going to rest the violin on? So a search was made of the church to see if anyone could find anything that would substitute for a chin rest. And in the church, it was just after Christmas, they had a nativity set, a bit like the lovely one that we have here with all these lovely knitted characters. And as someone was looking around the church, they spotted the baby Jesus in the manger. And they thought, hang on, he's about the same size as a chin rest. So baby Jesus was taken out of the manger and ended up resting underneath the violinist's chin while she played the violin during the signing of the registers. And it turned out that Jesus was exactly what was needed on the day. And the thing is, often what we do is we see Jesus in the manger and we leave him there. We celebrate his birth and then we leave him there. But what we're supposed to do is see Jesus in the manger and recognise that he grew up to be a man who died on a cross, who did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. And actually where Jesus needs to be is not left in the manger, but not just under our chin, but in our hearts, that our lives revolve around him. So Jesus is the gift that needs to be received. And John, in his gospel, having come to understand these things and come to believe that Jesus was the Messiah that God had given into the world, John reminds us of this. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It's the easiest gift in the world for us to receive. And at Christmas time, we are reminded of this gift and given an opportunity to receive him. So Jesus is the gift who doesn't disappoint. He gives us fullness of life. He's the gift who brings peace, but also conflict when we follow him. And he's the gift that we must make a decision about, like any gift. Will we receive him into our hearts this Christmas time? We're just going to pray together for a few moments. I'm going to lead in a prayer and then we'll have an opportunity to pray. We can pray aloud. We can pray in the quietness of our hearts. And we'll have an opportunity to pray for those that we know and love who are in need today. those that we won't be able to be with at Christmas, those who are in any kind of ill health, we'll make space to do that. But let me begin with a prayer and an opportunity for us to receive Jesus this morning. Heavenly Father, we began by reminding ourselves that you loved the world so much that you gave. And what you gave was the most wonderful gift, the most sacrificial gift, the most costly gift. You gave us a gift that would enable us to enjoy life to the full. Not just this life, but eternal life. You gave us a gift that brings us peace. But you gave us a gift that we must receive in order to enjoy. And Father, I pray this morning that even in these moments, as we've been thinking on these things, we might welcome Jesus into our hearts. Whether we've known him for a long time and we just take this opportunity as we've been reminded of what Jesus has done for us to say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for forgiveness. Or whether maybe for the very first time, you say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for coming. I realise that I need you. I want to be the very best version of myself that I can be. And I know that I need your help. I need your forgiveness. And I need the gift of your Holy Spirit to help me. And would you come in these moments and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And give me new life, that I might be your child. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's continue in prayer for a few moments and take this opportunity to pray, to say we can pray aloud, we can pray in the quietness of our hearts. Prayers of thanksgiving and prayers of intercession. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, I think of at Christmas, I think of Dickens' Christmas Carol, and I think of Christmas past, and every one of us here has a Christmas past, loved ones that are no longer with us, that we remember during this time of the year, and how sad it makes us feel in our hearts, how we yearn for them. But we just thank you for the time that you gave us with those loved ones. And think of Christmas present, Lord, where we are today. We think of us in this building, Lord, as we come together as a church. We just pray for each other here that during this Christmas time, we will remember exactly who you are. And Lord, we pray for Christmas future. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow even. But we just pray that we would rest assured in your name, in the name of Jesus. And we give thanks to that, Lord. Because whatever happens, we have the Comforter, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Over Amen.
Children whose families are in conflict this Christmas. And Lord, we ask just for your guidance and your presence and confidence and trust in you for the future, Lord. We ask that you would go before those families, Lord. Make a way where at the moment there is no way. Touch hearts, Lord. Soften hearts. Lord, with your love and your compassion, your conviction. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that you are Redeemer as well.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we pray for those who are serving overseas at Christmas. Who can't be at home with their families. Please be with those on board ships or there in the army, whatever service they're in, Lord, just be with them and be with their families, and may you unite them all safely in the new world. We pray for peace over those families. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And yes, Lord, we also think for those who are in countries which are more torn or oppressive, who don't get the freedom of celebrating Christmas with freedom we have here. So, Lord, we do lift up particularly our brothers and sisters who are persecuted around the world, and just ask you to bring them an extra special blessing to this Christmas, that they might be renewed and restored and strengthened, and just fall more in love with you than they were, Lord. We just ask that you bless them, all of them, that you know them each by name, you know the number of hairs in their head, you love them more than anything. So, Lord, we just ask you to bless in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Just striking me afresh how absolutely astonishing and amazing it is that you came as a baby. I mean, you know, so vulnerable, so tiny. Absolutely incredible. And thank you, Lord, you became as one of us, so we can totally identify with you, and we become babies as well. And you're right there in the midst. Oh, thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that you did that, and you didn't come as a mighty angel or something like that, or God who slays everybody. You didn't do that. You came as a vulnerable little baby.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's turn to our closing carol. If you're able and would like to stand, please do, as we sing Joy to the World.
Yeah.
Let's close with a final word of prayer as we stand. Holy Jesus, by being born one of us and lying humbly in a manger, you show us how much God loves the world. Let the light of your love always shine in our hearts until we reach our home in heaven and see you on your throne of glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Do sit for a moment. Well, I tell you that we will be back here on Christmas Day at 10:30 for a short service of celebration, if you'd like to join us. And we'll be here next Sunday for a short service of more carols and readings and short reflections that other people are going to be introducing. So you won't have to hear too much of my voice. So happy Christmas. Anyway, there's mulled wine and mince pies. So do please stay and enjoy some more mulled wine and mince pies. And we will see you soon. If you're a member of the chapel, do check the table to make sure you haven't left Christmas cards or gifts or anything. That would be lovely. The old